You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 24th, 2020, the Interior Secretary, David Barnhart, says he is requesting the Department of Defense to make the National Guard available for the Interior Department. The purpose? Protect our monuments, and will do so with dispatch and severity. He said he had also instructed an erection of a fence at Lafayette Plaza, as well as at St. John's Church. We're going to do it immediately. He said, we are now dealing with a savagely significant situation. The South Dakota governor, Republican Kristi Noem, vowing to protect the famed Mount Rushmore. She said, it's no longer about equality. This is a radical rewriting of our history. And in South Dakota, we won't stand for it. Not on my watch. Of course, Mount Rushmore, featuring the faces of Presidents Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln. There's no indication of a serious intent or plot to attack Mount Rushmore by the anarchists as they go around the nation tearing down other monuments, vandalizing. But it could happen. And she says, we're going to make sure it's protected. And now she has additional support from the Interior Department Secretary saying, we will send the National Guard as needed. And these anarchists folding in with Black Lives Matter and are in part now running Black Lives Matter, show no discretion in what they attack. Because one, what, do they not know the history? Or two, they just don't care, because anything that's standing as a monument to anything good in this nation, they will tear down. Perfect example, last night, Madison, Wisconsin. They attacked and tore down the statue of Colonel Hans Christian Haeg, an immigrant from Norway. Well, what did he do that upset them? He died fighting for the Union against slavery. You think they knew that when they tore it down, or they just didn't care? I say they didn't care because the entire effort now is to overthrow, turn up the country upside down, attack anything we consider of value. We know that already by the attacks on General Ulysses S. Grant, who led the Union Army against the Confederates, and they deface his statue. They've also defaced various monuments of Lincoln around the nation. And they also don't care about who gets in their way if they think that you were part of the enemy. That would include last night in Milwaukee, a Democrat state senator, Tim Carpenter, stopped to take some pictures of some of the protesters as they were trying to pull down a couple of statues. And they saw him and they attacked him. He said, all I did was stop to take a picture. Next thing I know, I'm getting 5-6 punches, getting kicked in the head. You think he cried out, hey, I'm a Democrat. You wouldn't have made any difference. I like this story. The L.A. Unified School District, the L.A. Unified School District Board failed to agree on a proposal to defund the L.A. school police. Black Lives Matter and United Teachers had pushed to defund the police going into schools. They could not agree on a process to do so. Good. In Atlanta, we had protesters outside the Fulton County Jail demanding the release of the woman accused of setting fire to the Wendy's restaurant. That's where Rashard Brooks was killed by a police officer. It's believed to be his girlfriend that set fire to the Wendy's. And at the site of the Wendy's, you had armed protesters showing up, and police did not try to go in and move them out. And they were threatening. We have a great decision from a federal appeals court dismissing the Michael Flynn case. After a years-long legal saga, the Flynn case is officially dismissed. Good. Great news. How will they restore what they took from him during that facade that they created? And to that point, new information about some new memos sent by Agent Peter Stroke Smurf. They're not being made public yet, but there's more information from those texts that might give us even more insight to what was going on as they tried to destroy the Trump presidency. I'll break it down for you a little bit later in this same hour. More on the Flynn story shortly.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in and assess the situation at a very reasonable cost and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. You can't tell by the way I use my voice, I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. Music loud, women want to be kicked around. Since I was born, I have a tolerance. I don't care. And you may look the other way, but we can try to understand. Do your time, don't make no man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If you give power to people that demolish monuments and attack churches and seize city streets and set fire to buildings, then nothing is sacred and no one is safe. We stopped them last night. You see that? Andrew Jackson.
That is President Trump last night in Arizona. And, of course, he was referring to the previous night as the protesters, anarchists, were trying to take down the statue of Andrew Jackson just across from the White House. And he points out, if you continue to let these people have their way, you will have nothing left. And he made it clear, the left will destroy everything you love in this. The left will destroy everything you love in this country. My friend, that is exactly why you need to be voting for Trump this time around. Donald Trump needs your support for that race, obviously, to make sure the leftists do not win. But we also have to be worried about congressional races. They are very, very important. So Donald Trump, last night, talking about what we need to do to protect America. And yet today, there's a new survey out that says Joe Biden is leading Trump by double digits among registered voters. A New York Times Siena College poll says, just released today, Biden ahead of Trump by 14 points. That mirrors a CNN poll earlier this month. Do you believe that? Did you believe the polls last time around? Yeah, we know what happened then. You had Hillary Clinton and all her followers. Oh, we got it. It's in the bag. It's in the bag. And when we got asked a question on the debate stage, would you concede and support the other candidate if you lose? And Hillary said, well, of course, that's the proper way in America. And Trump said, I'll wait and see. I'll wait and see. He said, of course, if I win, yeah, I will. But if I lose, no, I'm going to wait and see. And of course, Hillary immediately, you can't be that way. It's our nation is founded upon us doing it the right way and accepting the will of the people. But who was the very first one who began shouting, I got ripped off, I got stolen, the Russian, everybody was involved? Hillary. Donald Trump. This poll from showing Biden ahead by 14 points, really? That's fine. I don't care. You know why they say Trump is sliding? They say he's sliding because of the coronavirus pandemic, the economic downturn, and the nationwide protests over racism and police brutality against blacks. Where's Biden been on any of that? Biden has been still hiding out in the basement pretty much, right? So because they haven't heard anything from him, I guess they can believe that Biden would be better. The economy is taking a hit. We know that. But Trump got us fired up within his first 3 years, lowering unemployment, especially among black Americans, the lowest unemployment in history. And now he's got to do it again and will. Do you think the Democrats have you and your family at stake in their decisions? No. They want you to suffer. Suffer. The longer this country continues to be under the hold of the virus, the more we continue to have to lock down and keep businesses closed, the more folks are going to suffer. And that's exactly what they want. So the coverage of Donald Trump last night as he was in Arizona. I want to let you hear a little bit of the reaction from one of the leftist networks. Brian Williams. Remember, he was the NBC News anchor, remember? And then he got taken off. You do remember why. He was with a crew flying in a helicopter. Was it Afghanistan, I think, at the time? And he was saying, we got hit by a rocket. They didn't get hit by a rocket. Everybody on there knew they hadn't. Then later he said, well, I guess I just thought we did. I got mixed up. You don't get mixed up on something like that. That's akin to the lie Hillary Clinton told when she and her daughter Chelsea at that time visited an area, and she claimed we had to duck and run because of bullets. And yet the video showed them coming off the plane, accepting roses from a little girl, standing and shaking hands. And when she was questioned about her lie, she said, I just misspoke. That's not misspeaking. That's flat-out lying. If we didn't have folks holding them accountable and calling that and pointing it out, they would continue to do it. And that's why we have to take a very close look at what the mainstream media has and continues to do in making things up, fabricating. So how did MSNBC treat Donald Trump in his address in Arizona last night? Brian Williams, talking to one of his panel hosts on the show at that time, Ashley Parker, who is with the Washington Post. Now, I'm going to tell you now, I have edited this. It went longer than what I was going to allow. I've edited it down considerably, but I did so judiciously in the sense that I did not change the content and the intent. I just pulled some things a little tighter. I'm being very honest with you. I edited it, but I edited it not to deprive you of any vital information, but just trying to make the point quicker. I don't have the 30 minutes they did for that interview or 10 or whatever they did. I'm trying to deal with other items as well. But I'm honest with you. I made some edits in it. You're not going to miss anything that would speak contrary to anything you hear. So just listen how Brian Williams begins, and he begins to make his own interpretation of watching Trump and what Trump was doing and trying to achieve, and then the response of Ashley Parker, Washington Post correspondent, a reporter. In other words, she really shouldn't have an opinion. She should just be reporting on what happened. But if you're invited on one of these panel shows by the networks, oh, yeah, I want to be on there, they're going to ask you opinion. So, therefore, you are not a reporter, a correspondent. You begin to voice your belief and opinion, not based on facts. But let's not let the facts interfere with a good story, right? All right, to the tape of MSNBC, Brian Williams and Ashley Parker of the Washington Post.
Ashley, watching the president's remarks from top to bottom, I was waiting for the emergence of some messaging that might have stood out as an emerging theme in the campaign. And I guess it was the threat of bedlam, as he mentioned it at one point, that if the Democrats are elected, bedlam will come to all cities and towns in the United States. As he looks at this next reelection, having been robbed of the robust economy he thought he was going to run on, is this kind of going to look like what the campaign is?
Absolutely. I mean, the campaign right now and his aides and his advisors are very clearly, as they've told me, casting about for a message. He was robbed of the economy. They aren't quite able to paint Biden, although the president is trying, as sort of a liberal socialist Antifa member. That's just not who Joe Biden is. And the president doesn't know where to land. When the president is casting about, the final thing I will say is he doubles down on his gut instincts, which is that sort of identity politics, race politics, dog whistle, racially tinged, and even racist language that we're seeing right now.
Yep, there it is. Her view and his perception, her perception that he doubles down and he uses that dog whistle and brings in racism and so forth. That's clearly an opinion. And the closest she can come to it is at one point he was referring to the virus as Kung Flu or something like that. Really? That might be offensive to some. If it is, I would apologize, but if that's the best you got, that's it? That's it? Let me give you a very quick background of something that happened in the past that was brought. I was aware of it, and I had one of my longtime listeners out of Florida bring it to my attention again, said he actually had done a research paper at this at one point. And I'm glad he put it in front of me because I'd absolutely forgotten about it. This goes back in time. And in fact, it's a piece that ended up being criticized by then Vice President Spiro Agnew. Now, Spiro Agnew was the one who coined the term the silent majority. And Agnew did not have and did not leave office in the best of situations. He had to resign, the second vice president to ever resign, the other being John C. Calhoun. Agnew resigned because he had been suspected of criminal conspiracy, bribery, extortion, tax fraud, and then later convicted of such. But Agnew was criticizing CBS over a television documentary. He was questioning CBS as to how it was using its operation to basically, in creating a documentary, taking part to basically set a coup into effect. He's talking about Operation Nassau. That was the term by Mitch Werbel and CBS News for the invasion of Haiti by Haitians, Cubans, and American soldiers of fortune. Planning began in the spring of 1966 when CBS became aware. The actual designation was Operation Istanbul. CBS wanted to take the opportunity to film the actual Caribbean Revolution. So a producer and film crew dispatched to Miami with Mitchell Werbel to be an advisor for them. They brought in freelance journalists, and they started filming from a rented boat called the Poor Richard. Rifles rented by CBS, filming taking place in a South Miami park. Most of the CBS production crew were informants for one government agency or another, And then Congress ended up holding an investigation. The entire invasion was stopped in early 67, 75 would-be invaders arrested. And the FCC and the House Commerce Committee issued reports claiming that the CBS News crew was financially subsidizing Project Nassau, a planned 66 invasion of Haiti to then overthrow dictator Duvalier. CBS was going to shoot the invasion for a television documentary, but they were actually supplying different materials. The FBI learned about the whole thing and shut it down. The reporter Tom Duncan of CBS, I'm sorry, Jay McMullen, a CBS producer, was telling reporter Tom Duncan of Atlanta Journal, "We spent a lot of time and money on this project and have nothing to show for it." They were basically going to fabricate, and a lot of the footage they shot was in Miami, but they were going to put it inside some of the events of the invasion, if it ever happened. You talk about fake news. There it is. Perfect example. As far back as I just pointed out to you, in 1966 when it began. And the media doesn't know why. They're always being questioned. Because now we're not going to let them simply say something and not be challenged. The latest on the Flynn story, new developments. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As I was saying in news and commentary at the top of the hour, a federal appeals court ruling that the charges against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn be dismissed, as requested by the Justice Department. Remember, the Justice Department had said there is no case here. He was charged on something that shouldn't have brought up, and it was never a true investigation, so there's nothing here. And yet the judge overseeing it, District Judge Emmett Sullivan, refused to accept the DOJ's decision to dismiss. He wanted to keep it alive. Well, then it went to the Federal Appeals Court, the ruling coming down now, telling Judge Emmett Sullivan, dismiss it. Be done with it. Sullivan could try to appeal to the full appeals court, or even the U.S. Supreme Court, to keep the case alive. Or simply comply. We'll see what he ends up doing. But this is a victory for Flynn and his attorney, and a defeat for Special Counsel Robert Mueller, former FBI Director James Comey, and all the deep state folks who are trying to convict Flynn as they pursued the false allegations of Russian collusion against Trump and the 2016 campaign. And now we're getting word that there are some additional notes no one has apparently seen. The Justice Department notifying Michael Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell, they have a page of notes from then-FBI agent Peter Stroke taken between January 3rd and January 5, 2017. That's a key period when the FBI almost dropped its investigation against Flynn, but Stroke intervened and said, you got to keep it alive. Folks higher up want to keep it in play. He was referencing what? His bosses at the FBI, and maybe the Obama White House. We do know that's about the same time the Obama White House held a meeting on Flynn. We don't know what's in the notes, but apparently, according to the information being released, they are possibly, again, advantageous for Michael Flynn. In other words, there may still be something that we can still make sure somebody goes to jail for what they tried to do with the Trump campaign and the Trump supporters, and basically to overturn the will of the American people. Somebody has to go to jail from this before it's all over. I'll repeat it again. Somebody has to go to jail for what Comey and the other FBI hierarchy were trying to do to overturn the will of the people who had voted for Donald Trump. Do you think it's going to happen? I like to think it will, and of course we don't know how high it's going to go up. But now we'll see if the judge follows the order and dismisses the case, or if he decides to take it to another appeal. Drag it out if you want. Decision's already made. It's not going to change things. It will not change things. Take a break when we come back. So what's happening in getting rid of CHOP in Seattle? Have they wiped it out? And what about all these efforts to defund and disband police operations? Oh, we got a lot to cover on that for you. And also, before we wrap up this hour, the Bubba Wallace story. The only black driver in NASCAR and the, quote, noose found in his garage. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we're both enough. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. Well, what deep in love? Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Earlier this hour, I was talking about Project Nassau. That's a CBS News project they had underway. They started in around 1966. They were going to film an actual Caribbean revolution. Well, it turned out by a ruling of the FCC and the House Commerce Committee in 1971 that they claimed that CBS News actually is financing Project Nassau, the planned 66 invasion of Haiti intended to overthrow the dictator, Francois Duvalier, at the time. And I mentioned that Spiro Agnew called out CBS for that. And I also told you and remind you that Spiro Agnew, serving under Nixon, had resigned after he was charged with cases of conspiracy, bribery, extortion, tax fraud, taking kickbacks while he was a Baltimore County executive and governor of Maryland. I made a misstatement earlier. I said that he was convicted. He was convicted on the sense that he pled no contest to a single felony charge of tax evasion, and he resigned from office. He never spent any time in jail. But he disappeared from the public. But what he had done prior to that, Spiro Agnew had made a statement on May 9th, leading up to Nixon's 69 speech. Spiro Agnew at that time said, "It's time for America's silent majority to stand up for its rights." Nixon later used the same term, silent majority. And a Wall Street Journal report in January of this year pointed out that Spiro Agnew's rhetoric and themes about the silent majority prefigured the populism that we now see that propelled Donald Trump to presidency, and that's who he's calling on now to continue to protect his presidency moving forward. The silent majority. They're not out there in the streets protesting, marching, shouting, tearing things down they don't like. And when they're interviewed by posters, they often just say, no opinion or none of your damn business. Or they lie and say, oh, I'll go for Biden. That's pretty much what happened with all the polls, if they were conducted at all correctly in 2016. So now we've heard from Seattle, the Seattle mayor, announcing Monday, we're going to end that police-free zone known as Capitol Hill organized protest after two shootings over the weekend, including one that led to a death. That was Monday. I keep looking. I don't see anywhere where they have shut it down. CHOP continues to be active, starting about 2 weeks ago, barricading off the area. They haven't shut it down. But here's the other point. Since we're talking about mainstream media, and I told you how CBS was, at that time, and Project NASA going to finance an invasion so they could be on the front line for the documentary. With the mayor of Seattle announcing Monday that they were going to dismantle CHOP, you do know that, of course, CNN and MSNBC gave a lot of coverage when the CHOP zone was established. Oh, yeah, a lot of coverage. But Monday, when the Seattle mayor said we're going to shut it down, break it up, nothing. At the time the story was breaking, at 7 o'clock Eastern time that hour, that evening on Monday, CNN's 7 o'clock program from the East, Aaron Burnett out front, was on the air. They didn't mention it, even though it was unfolding at that moment. And during their primetime programming that night, no coverage, as they had Anderson Cooper from 8 to 10, or Don Lemon 10 to midnight. They said nothing. And MSNBC completely ignored it Monday from 7 to midnight with the Chris Hayes Show, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, Brian Williams. They all didn't report it. As the Media Research Center Vice President Dan Gaynor said, the liberal media has been playing games with coverage. And in fact, that's a perfect example they did. DePaul University professor and media critic Jeffrey McCall said, most mainstream media outlets have bent over backwards to portray civil unrest as peaceful actions, supporting the general aims of justice. That narrative gets largely disrupted if those news organizations now focus on the chaos in places like Seattle. Thus, they ignore or downplay recent acts of lawlessness as to not have to backtrack and explain away the simplistic manner in which they covered events of recent weeks. It didn't fit their narrative. How many times I told you? If it doesn't fit the narrative, don't cover it. And their attitude is, if we don't cover it, it didn't happen. Well, so far, it hasn't been shut down. But we continue to see things like this coming out. A Seattle business owner, who owns a store, he said, I'm planning to move out of the state. There's no leadership. We have a socialist city council. I'm going to leave. He said, that's what's happening in Seattle. People in leadership positions where we have no leader. He said, companies die. And I'm going to leave. He said, I've been there 38 years. But we're leaving Seattle. That's one business owner. And I would say he's probably one of many. Especially those that have been inside this CHOP zone where police are not allowed. Not even when the shooting went down the other day. Police couldn't get in. The mobs wouldn't let them inside. So again, we're waiting to see, are they going to shut it down or not? But as they are going to have to use police to go in, you know what the Seattle City Council has done? They slashed the police budget by $20 million. They slashed it by $20 million because they've had a tax revenue loss because of COVID-19. All these businesses closed down. They're not generating the tax money they need. So they're going to take $20 million out of the police department. That's something they wanted to do anyway. Now they'll blame it on COVID-19. The mayor is going to present her proposal in full to the city council, probably in an hour, if not already starting. And in Oakland, the mayor of Oakland, a Democrat obviously, is making it clear again, defunding is not just defunding, not just reforming police, but replacing them. In fact, the Oakland mayor, Libby Schaaf, said, we're not just to reform the police, but replace police with more trauma-informed, care-based, community-led responses that really don't warrant a badge and a gun. We've heard this previously. They are going to send, in a case of a mental disturbance, rather than sending police, they're going to have mental health professionals go, and they'll have no weapons to protect themselves. They'll just have to go in there and kind of de-escalate it if they can. You want to take that opportunity? I mean, one of my guests I had on the air the other day had pointed out that his daughter had just gone into social services. And he said, if she's going to be sent into these areas without any protection, I don't like that at all. Would you want your child, even though if they got a heart to help the needy, those who need homes and or health care or mental health care, to just go in some of these scenarios without any police backup? Fire departments won't go in with a fire raging if there are shots being fired until police get there. And now you want to send trauma specialists? Well, they're going to learn trauma in a hurry once they go into some of these situations. But the good story I had, I mentioned again in news and commentary, the LA Unified School District Board last night defeated an effort by the Black Lives Matter movement and the United Teachers to defund the L.A. school police. These activist groups wanted a $70 million cut from the L.A. police department and basically terminate the department, get rid of it. And other left-wing activists demanding the same elsewhere, saying police are symbols of, quote, white supremacy. The LA School Police Department has about 500 employees in protecting public schools from mass shootings and gang violence. And because of the school police, the Los Angeles schools are often safer than the surrounding neighborhoods. And they're right in the middle of the high crime areas, but the schools are safer because police are on the scene inside the school. These activists who think they know what's best, do they have a child going to that school? Do they have a child that might suddenly be a victim of a crime taking place inside the school? And you're not going to have any police officer there to help? No police officer to kind of begin to make alliances with students and mentoring them and connections that might pay off to help save lives? They're going to find out the hard way, and unfortunately, it's going to be involving blood of innocents. All right, the story about Bubba Wallace and the noose found in the garage where one of his NASCAR vehicles was being stored and worked on. Facts and fiction. That's coming up. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, so we have a statement I want to share with you from Spike Lee, Hollywood director, actor. appearing on a radio show, and I want to just read some of the quotes. Spike Lee says the foundation of the U.S., the exact wording, the foundation of the United States of America is immoral from the get-go. The foundation has been shaky from day one. This country was based upon the stealing of the land from Native people and genocide against Native people coupled with slavery. This is how this country was built. He can make that case. But you also have the case for every country in the world. You want to go back to the days of the Vikings and the, even before that, prehistoric man as they were grabbing and acquiring territory? I mean, every country, every civilization has been based on that to some extent. Grab, take control, genocide, obviously, sometimes, of those who were already there, and sometimes slavery. It's all inside the Bible. You want to look for one place, just go there. Numerous such stories. And many times involving those following, they thought, the Word of God directly. You go ahead and say that, Spike, but you got to acknowledge every country in the world has been based upon taking land from someone else who was already there. Then he added, we, speaking about black Americans, have been patriotic for this country from day one. We've been here 401 years and we still haven't got, you know, a full citizenship. That's not correct, Spike Lee. You have a full citizenship. However, there are people in our nation and little groups that try to deny rights that you are guaranteed under our Constitution. And yes, there was a period of time you did not have that, but now you do have full citizenship if you are an American, regardless of color or your religion. And then he adds, if we did have full citizenship, if we had it, if that was the case, we wouldn't be shot down on the street left and right. Well, that's not exactly right. You're not shot down the street left and right. Are there cases of violence? Yes. Cases of excessive violence on behalf of police? Yes. Are there cases of violence inside those same neighborhoods? Yes. And here's where, again, I'm going to have every time I'm going to come undone on the Black Lives Matter movement. You go ahead and proclaim Black Lives Matter, which I still say all lives matter. And you can tell me, well, we're not saying only Black Lives Matter. All right. Then where the hell are you in some of those neighborhoods where young children are shot down by gang wars going back and forth? A 3-year-old killed last weekend in Chicago. Did I see Black Lives Matter activists parading and demonstrating, protesting in the streets? Nope. They only come to the forefront when it involves police shooting and killing someone black, and even if it's a justified case. If you really believe in Black Lives Matter, you got to tell me why you're not in the street every time members inside your own community are being murdered, slaughtered by others in your community. All right, to Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace the other day, he said, I was notified by some folks at one of the garages where some of my vehicles were going to be. There was a noose. Bubba Wallace, NASCAR driver, the only black driver on the NASCAR circuit. And so he was doing an interview with Don Lemon. And he's saying, to me it looked like a noose.
I've been racing all my life. We've raced out of hundreds of garages that never had garage pools like that. So people that want to call it a garage pool and put out old videos and photos of knots being in their as their evidence, go ahead. But from the evidence that we have and that I have, it's a straight up noose. The FBI has stated it was a noose over and over again. NASCAR leadership has stated that it was a noose. I can confirm that. I actually got evidence of what was hanging in my garage, over my car, around my picker, guys, to confirm that it was a noose.
I looked at the pictures. Yes, it appears to be a fashion noose. I don't know if it was a slip noose, because if it's really a noose, it has to be room to open it up to cover over someone's head and then tighten around the neck. Bubba added some additional remarks.
Never seen anything like it. It's not something I talked to my crew chief about. I said, is this something like I wanted to make sure we weren't jumping the gun. And I said, this isn't this isn't just a regular old whatchacallit. He's like, Bubba, this isn't something that can be done within a second of just tying a knot and being on the way. This is something that took time.
I agree with that. But now, and I appreciate him saying, I want to make sure we didn't jump the gun. Well, 15 FBI agents, we're told 15 FBI agents were involved in investigating this. 15, even if it was done on purpose, put it in that garage, knowing that Bubba Wallace is going to be using that garage. 15 federal agents with everything happening in this country. But you know what ended up happening? They decided that that thing had been there way back in 2019. Somebody designed it that way, and they were using it as a pull down on the garage door. So, yes, it was looking like a noose, but it was put there long before Bubba was ever assigned that garage. No one would know in the future he would have it. Don't let the facts get in the way of the story. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.